Let me guess. You've downloaded this podcast because you like two things: free content and supporting local businesses. What's better than a free show like this? A podcast that helps you save money. And that part is thanks to our local loan originator, who is also nationally recognized. Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation is who you need to call if you're looking to buy or refinance. 2 years ago, I did a refi, ended up saving hundreds. And guess what? Interest rates are still low. Why not just call Ashley and get a quote? See for yourself. And as a thank you from us for supporting an amazing partner, if you get a quote from Ashley and mention the Triad Podcast Network, we'll send you a $25 local business gift card of your choice. So trust Ashley to provide you with everything you need for a simple, rewarding home loan experience where personal service with experience, speed, and satisfaction is her number one priority. Ashley McKenzie Sharp, NMLS ID number 100776, is a licensed mortgage originator in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Florida. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS ID number 2289, Equal Housing Opportunity.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.
Hey everyone, we're back with another episode here on the Triad Podcast Network. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Thank you for subscribing. We appreciate the support from those here in the community that enjoy what we bring to you in a variety of different topics. And as a reminder, one of the best ways that you can support the show, because we don't ask for your money, we just ask for your listenership, and we ask for a couple other things to support the show and keep this thing rolling. It's really just to spread the word, to not only subscribe and listen, but to give us a rating, give us a review. That helps to boost the popularity of the show and get it in front of more people, and then share it with somebody. Text it to one person. Send them the link. Say, hey, I just heard this great show on the Triad Podcast Network. Share it with them. And that's all you need to do. We'll never ask for your money. We want to keep the content free. So thank you for doing your part in getting the word out there. As we like to do every month, we enjoy doing something with our partners from the Ginther Group. They're our presenting sponsor. They help us to do a lot of different things with the show. And one of the things that we like to do with them is highlight other businesses around the community that are doing tremendous things and can be an amazing resource for you, your family, your friends. And so it's our community spotlight episode, thanks to the Ginther Group. And today we are visiting with Aaron Marlowe Rogers. He is an independent educational consultant with AMR College Consulting. Aaron, thank you for being on the show today. How are you?
I'm doing great, Adam, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I want to get into everything about your business, your background, your field, the whole area of college consulting, but I think it's important first just to get to know you a little bit. So tell us in as many or as few words as you would like, what folks should know about you and your connection to this place, to the Triad, and then how you got into this line of work.
Absolutely. I arrived in Winston-Salem in 1991 as a student at Wake Forest. My first visit to the city was a handful of days prior to my first day of classes. I did not visit beforehand to decide where I was going to go to school. And I grew up in Los Angeles, California. And so about 50 pounds ago, I ran cross country and track at Wake Forest. I was a recruited athlete and off I went to this school in the ACC in North Carolina. With the exception of my summer between my freshman and sophomore year, I've never left Winston-Salem. I've always lived here now. And so this is my 30th year of living in Winston-Salem and of working and being part of the community. My wife is a triple deacon as well. I'm a double deacon, and we raised our kids here in the public schools, and we've had a great experience. My first job out of Wake Forest was as a teacher at R.J. Reynolds High School, and I taught there for 4 years before going to Wake Law. And then in 2002, I began an almost 20-year experience working in the Office of Admissions at Wake Forest University. As a regional representative for almost every part of the country, from California and the West Coast to international admissions. I finished my career working with students from Massachusetts, Connecticut, and New York. So I've traveled all over, spoken with high school students, high school counselors, private schools, public schools, boarding schools, parochial schools, you name it, for the better part of my career. And then last year, just prior to actually the pandemic exploding, I started this business, AMR College Consulting. So I left Wake Forest and went through the process of becoming an independent educational consultant, joined a professional trade group, the IECA, and I've been doing this now for the better part of 18 months. For the most part, advising local students. So the majority of my students are either WSFCS students or students at area private schools. Although I do have students from the greater Charlotte area, actually north of here, the Mount Airy City Schools are great schools, and I've got a client from up there. And I even have an out-of-state client as well. And so, yeah, it's been a fun adventure so far.
So what are some of the things, before we get into the business side of it, first of all, it sounds so familiar, someone that comes from a totally different part of the country like Los Angeles. And once you get into Winston-Salem, it really grabs a hold of you, right? Grabs a hold of you, and whether it's here or other areas of the Triad, and now this is where all your roots are located. So that's tremendous to hear from RJ Reynolds to Wake Forest, all throughout the school system. What are some of the things that you enjoy about the Triad outside of your professional life?
No, it's so neat because where I live, which technically would be like Northern Winston-Salem, Old Town maybe would be the neighborhood that it's called. Like I'm 20 minutes away from like the back entrance of Pilot Mountain through like the Pinnacle Outlook, that trail entrance. My wife actually works in King. Just this ability to be so close to so much. One of the great sort of joys about being a resident in Winston-Salem for 30 years is I've seen the tremendous growth of this community with my own eyes. You know, being a college student, when we would go downtown, I don't know, once a semester, there was like one spot, you know, to now where my wife and I and my daughter went to Mission Pizza on Saturday night, and we could choose a bunch of places to go and have a great time. And so I'm never bored in this community. I love cycling in this community and running in this community. And then when I get out, we're 25 to 30 minutes from Hanging Rock, Pilot Mountain, an hour from Stone Mountain. And then you know, the other thing I would just say too is living in a collegial town. This is not a college town like Chapel Hill. No, this is a city with, you know, four, give it five actual colleges in it, with Carolina University now too. And so it's neat being in this place with a lot of engaged, thoughtful people, whether it be Wake, School of the Arts, Winston-Salem State, obviously, Salem, now Carolina. And so it's just a really neat mix, this community of lots of exciting things to do with a lot of bright, thoughtful people to do them with.
Yeah. So when you look at the world of college admissions, as somebody who has been involved with it from different sides for a number of years, how do you see the current state of college admissions? That's a tough question. I know that's a lot of different directions you can go.
Well, you know,
with that.
And you say this today, you know, on the day that we're recording this, is the day that U.S. News and World Report just released their 2022 national rankings, which is always causes a scuttlebutt. What are those rankings even worth? What do they even really tell us? We're within 2 years. Well, I take that back. Even last week, another defendant was sentenced in the Varsity Blues case that involved folks like Aunt Becky from Full House, among others. COVID created a huge sort of vacuum in the world of college admissions in that students couldn't visit schools at all, right? Colleges, for the most part, many of them are still closed to visitors, even if they're allowing learning on campus. What that meant was this past class that graduated in 2021 often was enrolling at schools blind. I did that in 1991, but visiting colleges wasn't so pervasive. Now, of course, it is. Test optional admissions. You know, the fact that in areas of the country, you couldn't even take an SAT or an ACT because they weren't offered in gymnasiums or libraries or cafeterias like they used to be. And so colleges have created different policies based on testing requirements. There's a lot going on in college admissions. Uniquely, I will add, here in our part of the country, you know, I can see here you're wearing an Appalachian shirt, whether it's Chapel Hill or Georgia, the University of South Carolina, you name it. We just live in a really hot part of the country for people from all over, not just the U.S., but the world. People want to go to school down here for reasons that you and I could easily justify, because we know what great schools we have down here. And so this is a great place to be a part of this business. We don't have declining population. We are still graduating more high school students every year than we did the year prior. There's a lot to think about when it comes to college admissions, especially in our, you know, in our little part of the world.
So because of that, and this maybe ties into the value of what you bring with your business, because of that, how would you consider North Carolina in terms of its ranking? If you're a high school student in the state of North Carolina, and I know you're not just in North Carolina, you mentioned that you have people that you work with out of state, but if you're a high school student in North Carolina, because of how attractive it is to come to school in this state because of so many great schools, how much competition are high school students in North Carolina entering into?
Well, fortunately, like legislatively, North Carolina, our government restricts the percentage of students that can come from out of state at schools like Chapel Hill, at state, and at other institutions. We also have an embarrassment of riches here. And I mean, it's a great problem to have. And even coming from a state like California, North Carolina has just, California, people think of California sort of the gold standard of public universities, the UC system. Everybody talks about it. Well, the UNC system, and that includes State and App and Charlotte, Winston-Salem State, A&T, you go on and on and on, provides so many varied opportunities for our students. And so, yes, getting into Chapel Hill is extremely competitive. Difficult, rather. You have to be an exceptional high school student. I don't think that's necessarily because of maybe people wanting to get here, though, because they cap it. Roughly 20-ish percent, give or take, of students are allowed to be from out of state and attend the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And that's just one example. If I were a student looking at a school like App, if I was a North Carolinian looking for at a school like App, I would actually be encouraged that, wow, like I'm looking at these tour guides with their little name badges, and they're from Vermont, Ohio, South Dakota. I would be encouraged by that. I think that would make, wow, like I just always thought of it as an app. And this is a place that these guys have traveled 2,000 miles to go to school. Mm-hmm. I think those are positive things actually for our state system. Never mind the fact that they bring in out-of-state tuition revenue, and that helps our state's bottom line and helps our schools be as well-funded as they are.
Sure. Aaron Marlowe Rogers is with AMR College Consulting. So tell me a little bit about the need that you saw for this type of field, college consulting, for people that want to put themselves in the best position when they go on beyond high school.
Right. I think it started with my own son, right? So when I finally, when my son was going into the ninth grade and really almost going into the eighth grade at times, or was an eighth grader, we realized that this is a four-year process. You know, we never use the word college. I don't talk about specific colleges at all with my ninth grade or 10th grade clients. I don't, but it is a process. It's a process of building up a curriculum through your 4 years. It's a process of building up a extracurricular sort of resume through your 4 years. And the best way that students do this, in my opinion, and this is where I saw the most need, a lot of people approach this process like it's a formula. What's going to get me X, Y, or Z? What do I need to do? What boxes do I need to check? My background, again, is in education. I was a public high school teacher. I love working with young students. I was a volunteer coach with now Fusion Soccer for dozens of years. Kids are great. And I know that if they just approach this process a bit more organically and just say, hey, every year, ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, I'm going to be involved in my school. I am going to be present in all my classrooms with my eyes focused on these teachers who are there to give me the best education they can. I'm going to involve myself in my community. I'm going to take advantage of the opportunities that maybe my parents afford me, summer camps, worldwide travel, whatever it may be, that organically they can put themselves in a place where right now, the fall of their senior year for my senior clients, they are able to put together thoughtful applications to schools that are, quite frankly, at times, some of these schools more and more difficult to get into every single year. And so the need I really saw was just, let's not look at this as some sort of formula. This is, the younger I can work with students, the better. This is getting young people just to be their best selves. In 11th grade, we start talking about the testing, the maybe academic or intellectual interest that they have so that we can point them to specific universities. Early on, it's just be your best self and take yourself seriously and take the schooling process seriously. So I think families that I work with have enjoyed, especially the boys, you know, enjoyed this idea that there is time in their lives to play sports, to hang out with friends, and to read and to watch documentaries with their family or the news, to be aware of what's going on in their communities. And that it's actually those things that make you, I don't want to say competitive college applicants, that's not even the right word, highly desired by college communities. Because these communities, or rather these schools, are building communities. They want good people. They want nice people. They want kind people. They want thoughtful people. So let's begin that process of becoming that person in high school.
That's a good point. It's not that colleges and universities want the smartest people, the best testers. That's not always going to be the case. And so, I think approaching it from a just building upon who you are and making yourself well-rounded and a complete portfolio, because then you're a highly desired student, human, right?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, of course I have clients that have nothing but A's and take a dozen AP classes and write exceptionally well, but they're not always instantaneously the most thoughtful students. They're really good at doing school. They're grinders, and more power to them. And so I try to help them with those other factors that I know colleges want. And then for those students who maybe have to plug along a little bit harder, have to work harder for their A's, maybe have some B's on their transcript, not as many AP courses, whatever it may be, those students are still highly desired in communities when they read their application. They can tell that that student is going to bring something positive to their campus and to their community.
Yeah, makes sense. Do you find that the area where people tend to make the wrong choice, but what I'm trying to say is the area that people miss the most in terms of the planning for getting ready for college is that they start thinking about it too late and start to put the pieces in place a little bit too late in the game?
Yes. I mean, in the North Carolina public school system, that is especially true. We live in a community with tremendous public high schools, where if you don't hit the ground running pretty early, curricularly especially, you'll just find yourself with maybe a lower grade point average than classmates that you know you're just as bright as, that you could do just as good of work as, but maybe you allowed yourself to be counseled into a curriculum that maybe didn't have the rigor that you really could have handled. The public school system in North Carolina is so rich with so many bright students. And here in our local school system, true in Guilford County, true even in Davidson County, these students have some pretty tremendous curriculum options, and you have to start taking advantage of them quickly. Bizarrely, Adam, this can even start to take effect in the seventh grade, where if you're at a certain level, you might take Math 1. You might be earning a high school credit as a seventh grader if you attend, you know, middle schools like Paisley or Haynes here in Winston-Salem, or even Jefferson for that matter, or heck, almost every middle school. And so it's amazing. Like, I'll meet these families in 10th or 11th grade, and they'll say, I wish I had done this or that. Now, listen, sometimes they say that. I'm like, no, you're okay. You know, you're still going to be okay. But other times, yeah, like a curriculum decision in 10th grade can mean that you don't get to do something in 12th grade. And then you're applying to a school to be an engineering student and you haven't taken calculus yet. And you're like, that could be problematic at some of these schools, you know? And so you need to kind of be aware as early on as possible.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So tell us a little bit about the business then, AMR College Consulting.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm located here in Winston-Salem. I specifically am trying to create, well, have created really a boutique sort of consulting business, in that I really only want to work with this a small number of families in each grade through this cycle. The goal for me is to just be as high touch as possible. So before we began this conversation today, Adam, I mean, I've been reading over students' application work, essays, short answers, short responses, et cetera, that these students worked on this weekend, which is good, right? They're doing work and that's nice, to try to give them as much feedback as possible. I had a student send a quick question like, I need a resume so that my teacher can write a recommendation for me, know a little bit more about me. Do you have a template? Yes, I have a template and I can help these students out. I have parents come in to talk about their students' progress. I'm really just a resource for families. You know, I like to tell people all the time, I'm a college admissions nerd. I really am. And so I subscribe to every periodical that you can about higher education. Like I said, today is sort of a big day. If you care about US News rankings, I don't. But it does get people fired up because it's on the head. It's on Good Morning America. It's on every show. And so this gets anxiety up. I enjoy.
I'm just curious. Why do you not care about it as much? I'd love to know the answer to that. Well,
I could, we could talk about schools that we both think very highly of. And then if we looked up their ranking, we would roll our eyes and we'd say, how is that even possible? You know, so I'll use as an example. My wife actually grew up in West Virginia, and West Virginia University is in Morgantown, West Virginia. And I think US News gave it the lovely ranking today of the 241st best university in the United States. If you go to Morgantown and you see the incredible things that WVU does for its citizens, because that's its state's charter, right, to educate the citizens of West Virginia, you would be amazed. I just find, what is Appalachian State ranked? Wake Forest came out today ranked 28th, a tied with six other institutions. What does that even mean? Tied with six other institutions. And these scores rarely change year to year. The top five, I think, of both national universities and small liberal arts colleges is identical to what it was last year. The methodology for calculating these rankings is somewhat dubious. But most importantly, Adam, we both know that at every college in America, well, there are faculty. These are educators. They're thoughtful people. Students have the ability to have an enriching experience at any school in the country. I'm not even going to look up Western Carolina's ranking. I don't even want to know. I know that for some of my students who love the outdoors, who just jones at the opportunity of living in Cullowhee for 4 years, that it's a fantastic destination for them, regardless of whether or not US News thinks so. And so it's just a big racket. US News makes a lot of money off of this edition, and more power to them. It's a business model. I have a business model, I guess, too. So, but I don't put a whole lot of stock into what they have to
say. Well, I appreciate you answering that. I'm sorry to put the roadblock up on your answer, but you said that and it just got me curious. I said, there's got to be a good reason. And clearly there is. And I totally agree with what you're saying, but I continue on, I guess, with the business itself. And hopefully I didn't get you too far derailed.
No, you're fine.
Train of thought.
So, if families are allowed to come to me at any stage in the process, and if I have openings for a specific class, then I can take people on. When I meet with, I just last week met with the parents of a ninth grader, this young man, we didn't say the name of a college beyond the college that he happened to have. The sweatshirt that he was wearing had the name of a college on it. We're talking about the building of sort of you becoming a thoughtful, smart, intelligent, engaged person. And that continues through the 10th grade. While in the 10th grade, you do start to dig in a little bit more on curriculum choices, maybe some testing strategies, but I'm sure you took an SAT or an ACT at some point in your life. I did as well. Those things really don't start to come into play until, late fall, maybe even winter of the junior year and beyond. I work mainly with the students. I do, of course, update families, but I'm constantly messaging my students, even freshmen and sophomores, every 4 to 6 weeks, not to ask them, have you given any more thought to applying to Harvard? No, just to see, what are they enjoying learning now? Are they having any difficulties? What are they getting involved with outside of the classroom? I highlight this a little bit on my on my website, but this is important for a lot of families. These conversations can be very difficult for students to have with their parents and vice versa. It feels intrusive, I guess, at times. Parents are often very results oriented, which is fine. So they're always asking about grades, right? And you need to do better. And it can be perceived as being negative to the student, even though in reality, this is just the parent loving the student and wanting what's best for them. When that message comes from me, it's a little bit different than when it comes from the parent. Now the parent and the child don't have to talk about these kind of things. I'm talking about it with the student. I'm the one who's telling the student, you need to invest a little bit more time in the schoolwork. You need to be more involved outside the classroom. Here are some ideas for books that you can read because you said that you were interested in, I don't care, horses or whatever it may be. I become sort of the voice in the student's head that says, okay, this is a 4-year, 3-year, 2. This is a process. I need to be engaged with it. And I hope and I think that they're glad that they're engaged in it with me and not with mom and dad. Because again, I'm sure those conversations can get a little sticky sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. It's a fascinating world, and you've opened my eyes to a lot. I've got three kids, and none of them are close to getting ready for college, but we are saving, and we certainly hope that they do end up doing that. One of our oldest is 8 right now, and I can see the value in what you do. I really can, because especially for families. I mean, look, kids are involved in so much. There's school, there's activities outside of school, whether it's music or dance or sports or what, and then there's their social life, and parents are keeping up with so much, including their own lives, that to have someone like, to have a coach like you and what you guys do, I gotta imagine it just helps just to keep things on track when it can be tough for families to really devote as much time as they would like to making sure that things are moving in a direction where they're in the best possible position to do what they want to do when they get ready for college.
And things that we won't even, touch on in depth today, but testing is actually complicated, and understanding the nuances of the SAT and the ACT can be complicated to people. Financial aid, it's complicated, and how to go through that process, whether people should go through that process, the difference between schools offering scholarships versus, in the end, maybe they're just tuition discounts because they really want you to pay a certain amount to go to these places. And what maybe your family income means, even in the college admissions process, forget the can I pay for it process. Sometimes it even can be the difference between being admitted or not. There's so many layers to this conversation for different families, multiples, especially. That's a good one because you have three, families of multiples. Those rules are changing on how financial aid will be administered to families of multiples in the coming years. And so, again, a college admissions nerd that I am, I enjoy staying on top of these trends. And the last thing I'll say is I don't always know the instant answer to people. If somebody comes up to me and they say, where is there a industrial design program in the Southeast? But I probably know how to look it up a whole lot faster than most people do. I just have access to a lot of databases and a lot of just admissions data from across the country. It's a nice part about being part of a sort of a national organization that we share a lot of data on admissions results and different fields. And so I can't always, bang, give out a school, but I know where to find that information and help families out.
This question, I guess, really could depend on the school that we're talking about, but testing and grades, in terms of all the factors that are considered by an admissions office as to whether or not to admit a student to a college, are there things on that list? Are there factors that are out there that people tend to overlook? I guess applicants tend to overlook that is more important than they initially realize?
Yes. This is a great question. This truly is, because I attended a conference this summer online where I got to hear the the dean of admission at Cornell University in Ithaca, New York. And I've always known this to be true, but I think he said this in the best way that I've ever heard it said before. The door to being admitted into schools opens 60 to 70% of the way based on what your transcript looks like. Hmm. When we were growing up, I think our generation especially, they threw out the term well-rounded all the time. You need to be well-rounded. You need to do a little bit of a lot of things. Now, in reality, you need to be a tremendous student, the best student you can be. And then you need to actually be pointed. Schools aren't necessarily looking for well-rounded kids. They're looking to fill specific niches on their campuses. Mm. That's why only playing the oboe is actually a really good thing, because a lot of colleges probably want an oboist. That's why, you know, being heavily involved in service, but thus maybe not playing a sport and being a leader on a sports team. A lot of people think my kid has to play a sport. All colleges need to see that the student is involved in a team sport. No, not necessarily, because very few of those students are going to play a team sport at the college campus anyway. And no, they might need to fill roles at the volunteer service corps or however campus service works. And so opening that door with that transcript is by far the most important thing. That's 60, 70% of the way. And then being pointed enough to fill that other 30% gap, as well as with testing, which does play a much smaller role in the college admissions process at a lot of places now. Recommendations, obviously, the quality of your essays in the application process. But none of those things come close to outweighing the impact of your academic work in high school. And it's not unfortunate when a family comes up to me and the student's first 2 years are not as good as they should have been. Mm-hmm. It just requires a reset. Okay, because of this, now we're going to have to look over here. But again, as I've already said, here in North Carolina, over here probably is still really, really good. You know, I don't feel badly for a student who maybe really wanted to go to NC State, but instead finds himself attending UNC Charlotte, because I know that students at Charlotte can have a fabulous experience and get a wonderful education. And we could go down the line in a bunch of examples like this.
Sure. Is there a magic number in terms of number of schools that students should consider?
I think there is a general number. Yeah. I mean, that 6 to 9 realm in terms of applications that you're presenting always works really well. And it sort of works like this. I want all of my clients to be aspirational and to apply to a couple of schools where we know it's a reach, that maybe academically they fall a little bit short of middle 50 percentile ranges for grade point averages or scores, or maybe they really want to major in something that's really popular at that school, and thus it might be tough to gain entrance into that program. A couple of schools like that's really good. 3 or 4 schools that, yeah, students like me are admitted all the time. They're not admitted all the time too, but no, I have a good chance of being admitted at these schools. And then, especially here in North Carolina, for our public school students here, a couple of schools were like, I'm going to be admitted. My scores, my grade point average, my curriculum, we can feel really confident. Parents always, they freak out a little bit when I speak that strongly about some schools, but it's just true. And that's even true regionally, for that matter. A lot of schools love bright, thoughtful North Carolina students. They just do. And so there's a place for everybody. My last point on this would be, my goal is for the student to be able to apply to, say, 7 schools and know that if they went 1 for 7, only got into 1 of those 7, that they'd still be happy with where they were going. And then, okay, so that was my final point. It doesn't have to be the end story, right? Because then transferring and all these other things that have become much more common for college students can come into play later if, mm-hmm. in the end, the student isn't happy at that place.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, Aaron Marlowe Rogers with AMR College Consulting. Anything else that you would like folks to know about you, your business, or this world of college admissions from the self-proclaimed, and clearly you know what you're talking about, admissions nerd?
I think, you know, a philosophy we took with our own son, who's now a freshman in college, that we're taking with our own daughter, who's a 9th grader, is just, as parents, we need to be really supportive. And we've got to understand that there's a lot going on in their minds. sometimes tragedy, sometimes it's activity, whatever it may be. Support your student, but remind them, you know, that, you know, Sunday night through the school day on Friday, nothing is more important than what you do in that classroom, you know? And so it is important. It is that they go to school every day, present, attentive, ready to be their best self. They can't be their best self every day. I'm not my best self every day. I'm sure you're not your best self every day, but parents should support their students and help them understand that these 180 days of school are important, you know, and for that matter too, as a former public high school teacher, the teachers think it's important. So engage with these folks who are there for you. Again, I'm not even talking about college admissions. And the reason why is if you do these things organically, just be the best student you can be. You become desirable when we have to start using the term college admissions and where are you going to apply and SAT score and what are you going to write your essay about. Those things come so much easier to 12th graders when the previous 3 years have been engaging for the student. And so, you know, parents play a big role in this. They play a huge role in this. And whether they hire an independent educational consultant or not, I think just being supportive is the most important thing. Let them make their choices and be supportive.
That's well said. It's well said. Well, I know for sure that if my kids were a little bit older, that I would probably get off of this podcast and you and I would set up another meeting to talk about how we can work together.
The class of 2032 or whatever it is, I still have space, whatever.
All right. Very good. We'll talk. For folks that are listening and want to learn more or talk to you about their own situation, what are the best ways that they can reach you?
Well, you know, if you go to my website, amrcollegeconsulting.com, all of my contact information is there. I have a contact form, but I also have my phone number. Feel free to call right away. Send me an email at aaron@amrcollegeconsulting.com. I do have an office here above Bobby Boy Bake Shop and the Cavise Wine Shop. So it's a good spot to go and grab a croissant or a glass of wine and then leak upstairs and learn a little bit more about college admissions.
That's great. Aaron Marlowe Rogers. Aaron is spelled A-R-R-O-N. Thanks to you, Aaron, for all you do. Thanks for spending some time. And we want to also thank the Ginther Group for providing this community spotlight for AMR College Consulting. Great to talk to you, Aaron. All the best. Thanks for joining us again on the pod.
Thank you so much, Adam.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. Our mission is simple: provide information, advice, and stories about the people and places that make the North Carolina Triad such a great place to be. You can find us by searching Triad Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you like to listen. If you like what you heard and want to support the show and those that contribute, we would truly appreciate a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. It helps spread the word along, as do your shares on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Triad Podcast. To get in touch with us, simply email info@triadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.